What is up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got a good one for you today, as always. I was on the lowdown again with Damian Barling today, and we had a nice chat with Jason Jones about the trade made today by the Sacramento Kings and trying to make sense of it all. I don't think we figured it out, but there's still some good stuff in there for y'all. So stick around. We got all that coming up next here on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everyone? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Interesting one today as the Kings made a trade. I don't know. I was trying to think of something funnier to call it than a trade. I think rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic is a little too strong, but I don't know. If you guys haven't heard, they traded Garrett Temple for Ben McLemore, Deontay Davis, and a 2021 second-round pick. So, there you go. I don't get it. Still waiting for the other shoe to drop. Maybe there's another deal to be made after the fact. Maybe this is something setting up another move. But I don't know what move is out there to be made that helps this team right now. And I know some people are very pro Vlade and think we overreact. And okay, I hope you guys are the same ones that are just as patient when a 27-win team does nothing to get better and wins, 30 games. It doesn't make sense. The move does not make sense right now. Again, we'll see what happens. It's something I brought up during the draft when they picked Gary Trent Jr. at 37, then ended up sending him to Portland for a couple second-round picks. First off, I like Gary Trent Jr. as a player. I think he could have been useful. I hated that move. But second off, it made me think, well, maybe there's something else in the works here. Maybe they like the assets of second-round picks to try and package all of them to pick up a first-rounder or something. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. I'm happy for Garrett Temple. He's going to get some run with Memphis. That he might not have gotten here. But either way, I don't know. I don't get it. Deontay Davis is a 21-year-old. Guess what position he plays? Power forward center. Mostly center, honestly. And if you haven't heard, the Kings have a couple of those already. So, I don't know. I don't know what is next, what the plan is, but we'll have to stick around and see. So I filled in with Damian Barling on the lowdown today. We had Jason Jones come in or call in and try and figure out what's going on and give us a little insight on this move and what's next for the Kings. So I'm going to play that for you, and then I'll come back after and we'll wrap this thing up. This is Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network.
And we are happy to bring in our good buddy Jason Jones, the Kings beat writer for the Sacramento Bee. Let's start with the obvious question, Jason. Is this part one of a two-part move by the Kings front office?
That's what a lot of people around the league are wondering. So I talked to today, kept asking me, well, what's the next move? This can't be it. You just can't be doing this. So that's what everyone's kind of wondering right now. And, there's not a whole lot out there in terms of free agency left unless you want to throw a big offer sheet at someone. From what I can gather right now, it's not Rodney Hood. Nothing going on there. Somebody told me last week there was nothing going on with Marcus Smart either. So you'd have to assume maybe they've been aggressively looking at trades to try to add something, whether it be a player or even try to get a first-round pick. I know a lot of fans, I understand, are frustrated seeing Brooklyn pull off their trade with Denver, using that cap space to get a first-round pick. Meanwhile, the Kings' last two trades keep getting them future seconds. And so I get the frustration, and I kind of get the lack of kind of trust right now because every time the Kings make a move, it's a big guy. Even if the guy's not going to play, I think at this point people are saying, can we get someone who's maybe around 6'8"-ish at this point? Someone that, even if you like Justin Jackson, someone who can, maybe help Justin. So, I think a lot of people are trying to figure out what's the next move? Is there a big contract they're looking to take on to get a pick, or, you know, just, yeah, it's kind of like a wait and see with everyone. Like I said, not just, you know, with fans. People around the league are just kind of wondering what's the next move, because the Kings have more cap space now than anybody, and it's, you know, all this cap space, what are you going to do with it?
Jason, I am part of that group trying to figure it out. Could it possibly be not part of a much bigger move, but, you know, is maybe Ben McLemore's trade value higher than Garrett Temple, so they can move him for something else? I'm just trying to figure it out. I don't really understand it.
I mean, one way you can look at it, maybe they have a few more smaller pieces you can move in a deal. Maybe it's easier to move Deontay Davis as part of a deal at 1.5 than it is maybe to move Zach Randolph by himself. Mm-hmm. So you've kind of broken up some of the deals in that regard to kind of see what you can do with them like that. But it's kind of one of those things where you still say, hey, what's going on? I think everyone, you look around the West, every team in the West, I can think of, has done something to get better. And you look at Sacramento and you say, drafted Marvin Bagley, what else are you going to do? And I think, especially when you don't have a first-round pick, there's no incentive to tank next year. You know, you might as well win as many games as you can. I think everyone's waiting for a move that says, hey, we're trying to win some games next year. We're not as content with winning 25 games and watching another team get our top five pick.
Jason Jones of the Sacramento Bee with us, Kings beat writer with us here on the Lowdown. Let's squash a couple of things, Jason. Clint Capella's not getting out of Houston. Fair? Foul? True? False?
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I mean, I think at this rate, you know, there's no one out there with money except the Kings. And as wacky as things have been in my, 9-10 years covering the Kings, I just can't see them throwing $20 million a year at a center. I just can't see it. That doesn't mean it can't happen, but the Kings are the only team with money right now.
But even with that, the Houston isn't going to make the offer first because they'd be bidding against themselves. If the second the offer from the Kings went out, wouldn't the Rockets just throw their hands up and go, okay, we're matching it?
Exactly. I mean, Houston has no incentive to make Clint an offer.
Mm-hmm.
So they can just sit there and wait. Either they come to terms or he'll have to play for the qualifying offer and be unrestricted next year. So, I mean, it's a rough market for the free agents this year. I mean, outside of Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine with the help of the Kings, those guys aren't getting, you know, huge numbers. So, I mean, Marcus Smart, like I said, Rodney Hood, Capella is kind of to sit there more than likely at this point, play for the qualifying offer.
Is that what you think will happen with Capella, that he does play for the qualifying offer and then tries to cash in next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, like I said, unless you can – I don't see Houston trying to work a sign and trade with anyone for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, the way the market is, the teams that you thought maybe a team like Phoenix would have, but then they draft Ayton, they don't need Capella now. So I think, you know, himself, Marcus Smart, and probably Rodney Hood all go back on those qualifying offers, get one more year, test the market next year when everyone's going to be afraid of next year, it seems like.
Yeah, and there's going to be a ton of money on the books why all these guys signed one-year deals. I'll throw another name at you, one that I started thinking about, which seems absurd, but I'll put it out there because we got to tie this all together somehow, Jason. Carmelo Anthony. Are the Kings trying to insert themselves into this Carmelo Anthony thing somehow?
I wouldn't understand why, unless you can get under the cap and you could get, let's say you could get a first round pick out of OKC next year. I don't have OKC stuff in front to even have a pick next year, but if you can maybe unload a deal, trade Carmelo and then just cut him. I mean, I'd have no problem with that. Now, if you're bringing in Carmelo to actually be a player, that'd be kind of weird. But I mean, if you can make a deal, you know, send back, I don't know who's kind, you send back a deal to make the numbers work. Maybe you get another one of their young guys and a pick out of it. I'd have no problem with that. That should be a pretty smart play with them. Leverage your cap space to get some assets. I mean, it wouldn't be a bad play for them. Then you cut him and he goes to Houston. So, I mean, it would make sense there on those lines. I just can't see them bringing in a Carmelo Anthony to actually play for them. And, you know, you saw how he struggled last year in OKC, and that team actually wasn't bad. I can't imagine a 30-plus-year-old Carmelo Anthony on a bad team sitting around playing the role of the good soldier leader. He's going to want out. So, I mean, if you can leverage your cap space, maybe unload one of those veterans and get something back for them, to me, that's what the Kings should be looking to do with their cap space.
Another name that continues to come up, I think mostly because he's from here, but Ryan Anderson. Is there any talk around him, any reason why they would do it unless there's a couple draft picks thrown in there? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what they're doing with $20 million in cap space.
I mean, the kind of the hang-up with Ryan, even last year in the trade talk, I know the Rockets were interested in George Hill, and people thought it was crazy. Then you see when Chris Paul gets hurt, boy, would they have liked to have another guard. Mm-hmm. But the hang-up with that was that the Kings didn't want to take back Ryan's money. And that $20 million over the next couple of years, he's old. That was the hang-up then. The Kings like Ryan Anderson. They would love to have a stretch four. I mean, I know with all the fours they have, you probably it sounds kind of what do you need a four man for? But they can get a stretch four, and they like that. But they don't want that price tag is what's scaring them off. And even if you attach a pick to Ryan, like I believe he has two more years left on his deal.
Yeah, this year, next year,
$20 million. Yeah, that's $20 million cutting into your space for the summer. And at some point, you've got to figure out: do you extend Willie Cauley-Stein? Do you want to keep Buddy Hield? You know, you got to figure that out. You don't want to have all your money tied up in a deal that maybe you don't think is really worth it for you. But, I mean, they like Ryan. It's just a matter of Ryan makes a whole lot of money.
Well, but they have the money this year. And even next year, I mean, Kosta Koufos is off the books. Obviously, Garrett's already gone. Zach Randolph is, I assume his time with the Sacramento Kings will be done next year. They're going to have another influx of money next year, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going to have plenty of money. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, from my perspective, if you're the Kings, you can't bank on we've got $65 million in the cap. We're going to go get Klay Thompson or Kawhi. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. This is not like a situation where you were the Lakers and you said we're the Lakers and we've got three, whatever, we got Ingram, we got all these other guys, you know, two number two overall picks sitting here. And the Kings want to be in that position. You know, when they landed the number two pick, one of their first thoughts was, oh, next summer we can sell a free agent on. We got the number two pick, you know, it's all part of their plan, but I think it was as much space as they're going to have. It wouldn't hurt to take on a guy like that. That can be a piece. But as of, you know, recently, they just weren't inclined to take on a guy like Ryan's deal. They wanted to maintain as much flexibility as possible. So, like I said, these things change so quickly, you know, you never know what's going to happen, but that's just where it was last time I checked on it. Was just they didn't want to have Ryan's deal on the books going into next summer.
Jason, your opinion, what are the chances that Ben McLemore and Deontay Davis are on this team opening night and potentially playing for them?
Oh, I think they'll be on the – good chance they'll be on the team. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll play. The Kings have, what, 14 guys now? And their last couple of deals – the guys they've brought in, none of them are part of their long-term plans outside of Bagley. I mean, Shumpert's on the team. There's no long-term plan for Shumpert. You know, you bring back McLemore, there's no long-term plan for McLemore probably, or Davis. I mean, you can't draft, you know, you can't have Harry Giles, Marvin Bagley, then be like, yeah, we need to go ahead and throw Deontay Davis into the mix. So it wouldn't surprise me if those guys are on the team. I just don't think they'll be part of the rotation. You know, if they are around, you know, there'll be guys at the end of the bench along with Shumpert and maybe some of the other vets. So I just think right now the plan is to really stick to those young guys. And maybe that's one reason why you do move Garrett, because you got to create some minutes to make sure those guys can play, even though if it means giving up your best perimeter defender.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I thought I was more leaning kind of the opposite way that you're going, Jason, and I didn't think either one of these guys would be on the Kings roster when the season started.
It's a possibility, but they're still, you know, if they can trade them, yeah, but if they don't trade them, even if you waive them, you still got to pay them.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of, it's kind of, what do you value? Do you want to go ahead and just buy out Ben McLemore and let him go somewhere else? Or Deontay Davis, are their deals so small now you keep them and say, you know what, maybe in February we can throw these guys into a deal to make something work. Their deal can be the gap. Because they're both expiring deals, and going into next summer, a lot of teams are going to be looking for some expiring deals in February.
Yeah,
because, that, you know, yeah. at that point, you'll know who's not going to go to the playoffs, who's going to be bad, and teams will start saying, hey, I need that start. You know, maybe a team like the Washington Wizards then said, you know what, hey, we're struggling. Maybe we'll unload Otto Porter now. The teams liked Otto Porter last year. It's a hefty salary, but he kind of fits into what they want to do in terms of his age and position he plays. So maybe you throw in a bunch of those guys to a team like that to get a guy like that back in February instead of doing it now. So I think if those guys are on the roster opening night, it's not, you know, the worst thing that could happen to them. It's a matter of, I think where a lot of people, especially a lot of fans, are struggling with is, do you trust the front office to make the right move at this point?
Is it possible, and again, just reading into this, but with Deontay Davis, that they see Kosta Kufis, Willie Cauley-Stein, Zebo will all be free agents next year in some form or fashion, that maybe Deontay could be part of their big man rotation after they lose all these guys? I mean, he's a young big who I didn't hate coming out, and he had an okay year last year. Is it possible that they could, you know, that's an option for them as well?
It's possible, but he's a free agent too. And if you're him, you're looking at a team that's already got invested money in, like I said, Bagley and Giles and Scalabucci will still be on the team. You know, he may, you know, why, if you're him, do you really want to be on a team where they have already has three guys under contract that they drafted? And Willie will only be a restricted free agent next year. Mm-hmm. So, there's a good chance that Willie would be back. Unless Willie gets a crazy offer and the King, or even the Kings, you know, the Kings would say, you know what, we'll go ahead and let him walk. But, yeah, I mean, I never rule anything out in this business because, you know what? What if you get Deontay out here and you discover, wow, he's actually not a bad player.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they're really high on Marvin. They're really high on Harry. And they still like Willie. So that's three bigs already. You still got Scal. So, I mean, just how many centers do you need, really?
More.
I'm so anxious to see where Willie fits in all of this, because I genuinely don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, it depends on which Willie you get. I mean, if you get the Willie you see when he's motivated and he's playing against Joel Embiid, you get that guy, great. Or, you know, or do you get the Willie who kind of just coasts and you don't really know what's going on with him? I mean,
well, if there's a good Willie and a bad Willie, how often do we see the good Willie?
When they play against Joel Embiid and they play against the Spurs, you know, and that's the kind of the problem. Are you seeing the good Willie in March and April when the games don't matter?
Yeah.
You know, I know every year, but the last 2 years, we hear Vlade talk about Willie finished the season strong. You know, look at the numbers he was putting up, you know, in March and April. No one cared then. So, you know, you need to see that version of, you know, it's always, well, after the All-Star break, you know, post the Marcus trade. It's like, yeah, when you're playing teams that aren't trying to win, his numbers certainly look really good. They need to see those numbers in November, December, and January. You know, and like I said, you know, not just when he's playing against an all-star. You got to put those numbers up every night. And I think the Kings wanted him to be a double-double guy last year. They kind of said, you know what, maybe they didn't put too much on him. Double-doubles, nah. And I think the thing is now is Willie wants to be an offensive player. He doesn't want that label of I'm a defensive guy, I'm a Tyson Chandler type. He wants to be an offensive player. So where does he fit in? It's kind of tough. If he finds a niche defensively, to me it's simple. But he doesn't want to be a rim protector, and you would athletically he can defend more than one spot, so that helps. But you know, how many offensive 6'11", 7 foot guys do you really need? You know, it's Kings. You can't have all of them. So it's going to be a big year for Willie to see how he comes out. Did he take the challenge and say, you know what, I'm not letting Marvin Bagley or these guys get my minutes, or are you kind of coasted into it? And you know, from there, maybe the young guys, you know, push him out.
Is the lack of moves at the three, could it be looked at as a vote of confidence in Justin Jackson, or is it more we just couldn't get anyone?
Well, they couldn't get. I mean, they tried. It wasn't like they just sat there and said Justin's our guy. I mean, if Mario Hezonja could have got him, you know, he'd be their starting small forward probably.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like they didn't try to get anyone in there. It's just, you know, it didn't work out. So, you know, Justin's still there. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, Justin kind of takes, you know, he won't say it, but you kind of tell when he talks about it, a little bit, he kind of takes that personally. That he had one season in the league, and I think there's kind of a rush to just kind of throw him away already. And the one thing Vince Carter always said was that he followed his career in college. Justin didn't look like he fit at North Carolina year one, but he's the type of guy, he's smart, let him learn, let him adjust, let him come back and show what he's learned. Because Vince always said, God, Justin's going to be just fine. Mm-hmm. But I just think that there's a rush because the Kings have passed on so many small forwards in the draft in recent years, you know, taking big guys. And then you finally take a small forward, everyone's kind of saying, oh, my God, that's the guy. He's got to do it now. But, you know, like I said, he was a rookie last year. I think they need to really give him a legit chance. But you still probably do need a veteran guy because one of the problems they had last year, they were just so small on the wing. Even when they had to get, you know, Garrett wasn't a legit, you know, three. And right now, their only legit three man is Justin. And so if they can't get someone, you know, Justin might be in that starting lineup again opening night. Or do you go with three guards and just go, you know, put Buddy back out there and play Bogey at the three? I mean, that's the only other option they really have right now.
Jason, we appreciate you as always, my man. Thank you.
No problem. Anytime, guys.
All right. That is Jason Jones, Kings beat writer for the Sacramento Bee.
So there you go. There it is. No one really knows. No one really knows. We're all trying to figure it out, waiting to hear what will happen. And don't get me wrong, because I had people come at me crazy today, like, oh, you're acting like Garrett Temple is a star. No, I'm not. I'm happy for him. I think it's good that he's gone, actually. And he, you know, probably wouldn't have been that much of a contributor on this team. But I just don't understand what they're doing. What is the end game here? What was it, just to get younger? Because they did that with, you know, the retread, Ben McLemore, PG, the pizza guy. But, yeah, I don't understand it. Maybe Deontay Davis is insurance for next year when Willie Cauley-Stein's restricted free agent. Zebo's a free agent. Coast is a free agent. So maybe he's insurance to play a backup role or something. I just, I don't know. So we'll have to wait and see what the move is, the next move. Hopefully there is a next move. But at this point, I don't know what move is out there to be made that can really help involving trades. You know, again, things can happen. Players can become available that weren't before. But as far as the landscape right now, it doesn't look like there's much out there. I mean, they don't have to trade to get Rodney Hood or anyone. I mean, they can go sign him. Now they have $20 million in cap space. So maybe it's something to facilitate a Carmelo trade or Ryan Anderson or, I don't know, some big contract that's out there. But I don't know. I'm just confused, really. I'm just confused. Want to see what the next move is. Hopefully there is one. So that'll do it for Locked On Kings. I just want to say sorry about the delay. We had technical difficulties, so what was supposed to be Monday's episode came out Tuesday, and this, I'm finishing recording this on Tuesday. This will be out early Wednesday morning. So, yeah, sorry about that. But there you go. Deal with it. No. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll be back. I think we'll get one in tomorrow. If not, definitely Friday. And thank you for listening. Come on back. I will definitely be here. This has been Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.